after 3 years, I can now tell that it's done. So we have our approach with FirstBeat and how we look on the data and how we implement and how we process all these things.
Welcome to the FirstBeat Sports Podcast, where we talk with coaches and sports scientists to explore the latest in physiology and internal load monitoring and how it is making a difference in pro team sports globally. We're going to connect you with practical advice from the best in the business to help you take your athletes to the next level. The FirstBeat Sports Podcast is expanding beyond the U.S. to a global stage. We start in the Bundesliga with Jonas Bode from Borussia Mönchengladbach, discussing how FirstBeat helps guide training and performance at one of Germany's top clubs.
All right. Hi, everyone, and welcome back again to the FirstBeat Sport Podcast. It feels really good to say the word again, because I think we have been recording the last podcast almost 3 years ago. So it has been quite silent when it comes to the podcast recordings. Therefore, I'm really happy that we start today like a new chapter. Not only like besides that we are now having like a video style podcast, it's also like our approach this time that moving a little bit more to the global voices from the field of elite sports, having not only like North American guests, but starting today with Jonas. Jonas Bode has been working as a performance coach right at the heart of the German Bundesliga at Borussia Mönchengladbach first team. And I'm really happy to have you here today. Welcome, Jonas.
Yeah, it's a pleasure for me. It's a pleasure for me, guys. I'm also really happy to be here and to speak a little bit about the FirstBeat centers and how we implement all the data.
Then let's get started and start the show. So I was just saying that we have listeners from all around the world. And maybe in the beginning, it's always like, of course, for me as an Austrian, Borussia Mönchengladbach, it's a big name, but maybe you could start in the beginning to tell a little bit about your journey as a performance coach and also some words about the club before we dive deeper into the performance topic.
For sure. So I start my journey doing my bachelor's degrees in a small town, Jena, in a soccer club there. Carl Zeiss Jena, it's also a tradition club in the east of Germany. Right now they're playing in the fourth league, and I worked there as a performance coach for the U19. And this was the first time where I worked with the data, more or less with the FirstBeat, not a FirstBeat, Polarteam Pro was the GPS system. And there I get my first steps in the soccer, professional soccer in the youth. And then I moved on to Bayern Munich and have the chance there to work there in the youth with the youth teams as a performance coach. And after 2 years, I moved on to Borussia Mönchengladbach, worked here for 1 year for the U23. And right now, is it my third or fourth season here for the first team? And my responsibilities right now are I'm really, really close to the head coach to do all the load management where FirstBeat came in, and do a lot of gym work and on-field stuff. But the main part is the load management through the week and to plan the microcycle and all the data with GPS and, of course, FirstBeat.
Thanks. That's impressive journey. And maybe like a quick question before also, what are the biggest differences that come to your mind when you think about like back working in these three regions in Germany, Jena, Eastern Germany, then you moved to Munich, Bavaria, and now you are in Mönchengladbach in Nordrhein-Westfalen?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I think working in Jena, it was a one-man show for all the youth teams in the end. And it was quite difficult because then I moved on to Bayern Munich, like the biggest club in Germany, and you have all the technologies there. You have a lot of more budget for stuff. And I learned a lot because I have good communication there with my colleagues and also with the pro team. This was, for my journey, I think, the most important part, because in these 2 years, I learned so much. And in Mönchengladbach, I like the connection between the pro team and the U23 and the youth until now. because the communication is mainly on a weekly basis. So in my year in the U23, it was really good to have a good communication with the pros. I joined the gym sessions, the on-field sessions. Therefore, it was perfect to learn how the pros are working.
Yeah, this sounds like also like really nice having the own, like in within the club, their own, you know, youth SNC coaches get also promoted to the first team. So I think, where everybody like who starts to work in somehow in the performance stuff or like in the coaching area, like the big goal is, of course, to be sometimes in the first team. And very nice to hear that was possible at Borussia Mönchengladbach. A question about the club. Maybe you could say a couple of words about Gladbach. How is it going at the moment? How you have now said like you are in the third season with the first team, but already have been working in the youth team. That would be interesting for me also.
Yeah, I think from the traditional side, it is one of the biggest club in Germany. Was at a really great success in the 80s because I won, I don't know, three times the championship there. And that was also the last time. Right now, it's a little bit more difficult. We're staying in the middle of the league. But you feel on every weekend how big the club are because our stadium is full with 50,000 people. And if we're playing away, there are also more than 5,000, 7,000 people. What is really crazy. So the transition side is, it's a big, big club.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's the reason also why I want to highlight that a little bit. And thanks for sharing that. Because not only like for me, like when I was a child, I was like cheering for players like Flipsen or Effenberg. They were really inspiring me. Therefore, it's like quite an honor also like to work so long already with Gladbach together and also having you today here. And I agree, like when cheering for a team, of course, I follow that also, like maybe the last seasons haven't been so successful. But at the same way, I've done also some research and also important to highlight, you have been in the last decade, I think three times in the Champions League. So I think 2020, 2021 also under the top 16 teams. So something also, where you want hopefully, or you will be back also at some point.
Yeah, hopefully in the next 2 or 3 years, we're playing for the European Championships. Good.
Hey, but let's move into the performance topic. You have been implementing First Beat step by step over the past few years. And my question would be, what did that process look like? And from the initial instruction, actually, how it became something you use now on a daily basis?
We are working with First Beat now since 3 years, and was really easy to implement First Beat because you got the belt, you got the heart rate sensor, and you work with a heart rate belt or heart rate sensor before. So it was really easy to implement, and also for the data side. So the workflow after training session where you get all the data, it was really easy because you have your iPad there, it is one or two clicks, and then you can download all the data. And then you go on the website and then you can cut the session in each period. So it was really, really easy for starting. For the parameters and where you should take a look on, etc., was a little bit more difficult because there are a lot of parameters there. And to find out which parameters fits in our approach and which parameters are more important was a process for us. So after 3 years, I can now tell that it's done. So we have our approach with First Beat and how we look on the data and how we implement and how we process all these things.
Yeah, that's great to hear. Thanks for these insights. Maybe let's dive still a little bit deeper into this microcycle when thinking about the typical week. Can you give us there some insights how you use the system and in what kind of setups?
We are using First Beat on every training session in the week, plus on the recovery days, on match day plus one inside on the bike, and sometimes on individual sessions where we go on bikes in the performance center, and on friendly games, we're wearing the belt from First Beat. a typical microcycle looks like on match day minus four. To go a little bit deeper now, we are playing a lot of small side games. So to keep it short, we want to overload the cardiovascular system also there on this day. So we check the live data where you can see, and these are our two most important parameters, the high intensity minutes and the trim score. And we have clear goals, what we want to reach for every player. So mainly on the match day minus four, we want to hit these targets for these parameters. And on match day minus three, it's more extensive, larger games, we sprint. Therefore, we are using the first speed to get some better rest times between the games. That's the same for match day minus four between the small side games. It's really helpful for us because normally if you're playing a small side game or larger game, whatever, you have a rest time for 30 seconds or 1 minute 30. Then you take a look on the iPad and then you see some players are resting at 85, 90% after 30 seconds. So the rest time should be a little bit longer. What we are doing then is to speak with the head coach and tell him, okay, we need a little bit more rest time, and that he can start the next game when we say, okay, now mainly all the players are below the 70% maximum heart rate mark to start the next game.
Yeah, thanks. That this is a very good overview for us also to understand way more better how, like, on a daily basis the system is used. And I have to say also, I'm happy to hear that also in football, especially this match day plus one, plus two, depending of course always on the club, like the indoor sessions, you know, when you maybe also like have more this like off days, you know, the cardiovascular part is monitored. And I think this is also a strong advantage that you can apply the system in all kind of like training sessions, no matter if they're on the pitch or somewhere in the gym.
Yeah, 100%, especially for the plus one day for the starters, starting the recovery session with 20 to 30 minutes on a bike. And therefore, we want to hit the zone two, and we install two or three iPads directly in front of them. And then they have a clear goal to reach this mark. And then you can see in the color, in the color spectrum, okay, they should be to reach the blue one. And then they go on a bike to reach the 70% mark and to go on that.
And maybe like to like also dive in more in this topic about performance, fitness condition, fitness testing. I know that like, many of our teams very interested in the current like quite hot topic in this like invisible testing, let's say, this non-invasive testing, invisible testing. How you have been like successfully implementing this kind of sub-maximal fitness testing, and how often do you conduct that with your players?
I watched the video from Martin Boucher with First Beat Together, and I would like to recommend to all of you guys to watch this presentation, this webinar, and was brilliant because all the topics were really easy to understand and it's really practical. So for all the guys who are working in the practice with the team, could learn from this webinar. And we asked ourselves in our department three or four questions. So why we should implement the submaximal fitness test, how we should implement, and when. I think these three kinds of questions should be answered before you install these tests. The why we answered was mainly one thing, and that is, how is the fitness trend of a player for a better communication with the CEO, with the head coach? Sometimes you have the discussion after a bad game, you lose, then the coach came and maybe say, okay, the players aren't fit enough. So depending on something. So then you have a better basis for discussion and to see, should we implement more running? Should we train harder if the trend is negative from the fitness? And in the best case, if the training is positively, so then you're in a good way. So keep going. And then you have for sure other points like the correlation between the MAS, VO2 max, what you said before, it's a test without testing. So non-invasive. The players doesn't know that it's a test. It's sub-maximal, so the player haven't so much fatigue from this test, and the duration is really short. We implement the sub-maximal fitness test with a straight line test from straight line 90, 95 meters, because our pitch from corner to corner is 95 meters. So we run in one line 95 meters 8 times. So the tempo is 11.2 kilometers per hour. And the duration with the change of direction every time is nearly 4 minutes and 5 seconds. That is how we implement these tests, because it's really easy to install. You need only 2 lines and then you can directly start. So you don't lose time to install a curve, a shuttle, whatever. And then the most important question should be when, on which time you should implement this test. I think the most important rule is be consistent, do it on the same time always. And our first thought was, okay, we do it on the week where we have maybe 5 training days before the next match. And we do it on the first day. But on the webinar with Martin and the colleagues, I heard a little bit about the blood plasma, and then I read some studies about this topic, and the blood plasma is a little bit lower on off days. So if you train the first time after off day, so the blood plasma is a little bit lower. So the blood plasma is a good correlation between a better performance. So we decided to do it on a match day -3. In a normal week, looks like with 4 training days before the match. We do it 3 days before. So we have one training sessions in the legs. Not too much, not more than 2. And it fits perfectly to this character of this session on the match -3. What I said before, it's more extensive day. And we do it directly after the activation inside. So we do in the gym activation, a small activation with everybody. We go directly on the pitch and we start with these tests for 4 minutes, and it's one part of our warm-up. So we spoke with our players and with the coaches and said to them, okay, it's only one small part of our warm-up, 4 minutes, we run. It should be really easy, no talking if allowed. And this was our answer for when. And we're doing this test every 4 to 6 weeks. It depends a little bit on our microcycle. We're playing on the next weekend, but yeah, we do it mainly every 4 to 6 weeks.
Great. Thanks for sharing also these quite precise protocols and how it looked like in practice. And may I ask also, how does this data feed into training decisions, or how do you like? Do you have a good case example, for example, for 1 or 2 players?
I think it was in January. We did the test directly after the off days, about Christmas, to see how the running plan was for them. And it was really good to see how the running plan really, really, really good, and which player doesn't. Because we have, I don't know, 50%, nearly the half of players had a positive trend after the last test before, and the other half doesn't. And you saw that directly in pre-season, in winter, the players, and that was only a subjective opinion from the head coach, they weren't fit. So right. Yeah, to see that. And then we installed some runs after the training for them to hit the MAS, to do a little bit more with them, because we can directly show the players, okay, look, you're unfit. That was the last test. That's the test now. So it was a negative trend. You should do a little bit more.
Yeah, I think there it's already coming like to the next topic, because sometimes, like, you know, this communication to the player, or to get the player and coaches buy-in, it's especially like when the physiology is measured, monitored, applied, you know, sometimes a critical topic, because certain metrics or parameters are not so clear in the first way. When you compare, for example, with GPS data, like when you say max speed or distance, this is something what normally everybody from the street can pick up already. So I really would like to hear from you, how this buy-in or communication with the data from FirstBit has been applied in your setup?
I think it's easy because, for example, after a small side game session, we have one player who's way over the line, so he get more than 10 minutes in the red zone above 90%, and his normal average should more like 3 or 4 minutes. And after I saw the data, I directly went to them and asked how you feel, because you're so much more minutes in the red zone than normal. And he directly answered, "Yeah, I'm totally dead because of a lack of sleep, because maybe he got some illness in the future, whatever." And that is the main part. And for the buy-in, because it's have a good correlation between the perceived of exertion and the first beat data above 90%. So therefore the buy-in of the players is good, and also for the coach, because right now the head coach asks every time, can I start the next game, because he see that the quality in the matches is a little bit higher if we're doing some more rest. It's completely easy to understand, because if you're going with 90% in the next game, so it's normal that you tired after 10 or 15 seconds. Therefore, the buy-in is also really good.
Great. But like when I sum that a little bit up, is it then still like the main communication is then like in the first phase about like time spent in certain heart rate zones? Or do you sometimes go also like in the communication with like first bit training load metrics like TRIMP or training effect?
Yeah, what I said before, the minutes in the heart rate zones are one parameter. The other one is the TRIMP, what looks more or less like a volume parameter for us. Therefore, we have the communication with the head coach. So we are using these two parameters with the average and the standard deviation after training, and give them every time the head coach the data and where the players are, more than average, below the average, for these two parameters, because TRIMP is a little bit more for the volume. If the training session is a little bit longer, like on match day -3, the training session, the duration is longer than the day before, so the TRIMP is a little bit higher, but the high intensity minutes are higher on the match day -4 because of the small side games. And
yeah, that's really great to hear in that sense also, like that you have like then also sports specific approach for the certain segments of a training session, what you can like then more specifically evaluate. Maybe I ask also like one more question regarding the communication and reporting part. How do you see it like also in the future? How much data is good, needed? Is there some overwhelming already based on your experiences in the field? I think saying also that like you starting as a almost like a not full rookie, but like, you know, in professional business at Bayern Munich Academy, there was like almost everything available. How has it been like for you in the past, like let's say 5-6 years? Like how do you see this field of sport technology and data tracking?
Yeah, it's overwhelming 100%, and you should stick to the basics. And if that are only 4 or 5 parameters and you watch them on a daily basis, then you do great work 100%, because if you're doing this consistent, you watch this parameters consistent over years, you get a better feeling for the players, for the situation, and you learn more in comparison. For example, if you're using 8-9 parameters and you look for that. I mean, sometimes a new parameter comes in and you put something out for that. I think it's completely fine. I mean, right now for GPS technology, we should definitely work more with the individual thresholds than the normal thresholds, what the systems are. Like, okay, we should not look for meters above 24 kilometers per hour. Maybe right now we should look more above the 80% V maximum speed mark. But for this, we put something out on the basket. I think it makes more sense to have smaller parameters a smaller, more smaller count of parameters in the baskets and do this one on a daily basis and consistency.
Yeah, makes sense. Maybe like, you know, we are getting to the end already of this recording of this show, but yeah, I hope my product manager is then not like, yeah, somehow pissed off or too heavily surprised, because of course we have, yeah, always like, you know, benefited from this close relationship with our customers and having also like a very open discussion with our customers in that sense, like also when it comes to the wish list and what actually like the future brings. Is there something where you have like also yeah, for the technology providers for Firstbit, something in your mind what would be making your life easier on a daily basis?
That's a good question. That's a really good question. I think only for the practice, for the sub-maximal fitness test, I think that is our main problem with Firstbit right now, but it's not the problem. But the players do the hardware bed on, put the sensor on, go on the field, and afterwards we got the data and see the graph wasn't there because the connection wasn't there. Yeah, the belt wasn't wet enough. But to see on live on the iPad if the signal is there or not is maybe helpful for us, because sometimes we lose the connection in the training because the players wearing the belt to lose. To see this live on the iPad, we lose the connection. To check it would be good, but it's only a small thing, and it's more or less the thing of the players, because it's too loose. I asked them where's the heart rate belt, and yeah, it's on my stomach. Good. That isn't good. That is the only thing.
Yeah, but great. Thanks for the feedback. And actually, that's really good to hear, because on our roadmap, I would say like in the upcoming weeks, we have also now soon, almost like in a week, you know, on the 30th of March, our Berlin summit. In that sense, like there is something coming, also especially for the on-field monitoring. We will have like something announced soon, like where you have like the option to, first of all, use also this submaximal fitness testing in real time, having like a better overview about the data quality in real time, where you can then like, you know, start and stop the session already on the pitch. So saving you then time also in the handling with the data and the communication. I think this has been always like one of our main priority.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds good.
All right. Hey, thanks, Jonas, for having you today here. And thanks again also for sharing this insightful feedback from the field. I think all our listeners definitely can benefit from having like this open-minded approach by using certain technology. Please feel free also, like if you like this podcast, to leave a like or a comment. And best would be, of course, start following us. And is it on the podcast side or on social media channels? So you won't miss any of our latest news or developments or, like, as I said, these upcoming fields, events on the field. If you are interested in starting to use our technology, our solution, or you have any kind of questions in mind, you can also just drop me a message or free to reach me out through social medias. I'm always happy to set up a meeting or a call and connect with you. All right. Have a good one and cheers.